With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Shark bait has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears old Maggie Heath, babe, so there's never, never a trace of red. Now on the sidewalk, ooh, Sunday morning, lies a body just oozing life. Eek! And someone sneaking round the corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight, dear. Five will get you 10, old Mackey's back in town. Now did you hear about Louis Miller? He disappeared,
babe,
after
throwing out all his hard-earned cash.
And now Maggie spins just like a shell.
Such an upbeat, happy tune for a serial killer.
Yeah, this guy's messing people up.
Kenny Diver's gone. Don't even get me started on Suki Tawdry. And old Lottie Lynn, yeah.
A little bit of a...
Don't forget Lucy Brown.
Poor Lucy Brown. Brett McMurphy, who was on yesterday.
Yeah.
On the V-Show. Tweeted this out a little while ago.
Saying, what a wonderful time I had on the V-Show. They're wonderful gentlemen, and I would be glad to go back on a show of that caliber anytime.
I think, he said that earlier.
Okay.
But this was about 10 minutes ago. Not even. Ohio State, they're adding a 2023 home game against the Hilltoppers. So the Tops and Ohio State will square off in 2023. A little bit of breaking news there.
Louisville.
From our boy Brett McMurphy.
The Louisville Bats getting into the top 10 for ESPN. Unfortunately,
how?
Not the Bats. The opposing team's center fielder made a spectacular catch on a fly ball, and that was top 10 number 3. This is top 10 number 2. An incredible,
I potted it down at the worst time.
Run for that. What is
Mac
that?
Is back, baby, or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't the original. That wasn't Bobby Darin, was it?
I think that one was Bobby Darin.
Because that wasn't the original, no. The original is when he sings, "Look out, old Mackie is back." Bang!
I think that's what it was. I thought that's what he said. Do you want me to call Andrew Adelson?
Well,
or
Bobby
Darin. Or do you want to...
currently dead.
Yes. Or do you want...
That's what he's saying.
Someone called the cops if you didn't let me in. New York Mike's joining us
he's shadowing you,
here at
literally,
the ESPN Louisville Studios. He got a bunch of really cool photos of some of the Goodfellas people. Also, you brought us a gift, did you not? Is there an Andre Adelson?
Didn't bring us Andre Adelson.
No. Andre Adelson's kind of busy because, like we said before the break, the ACC network launching today. But... yeah, she'll join us coming up at 1 o'clock.
He's giving the show a report card.
He's giving it to, well, I don't want to know what the grade is.
Report card from DeWitt Clinton where I went.
Oh, DeWitt Clinton. You know who else went to DeWitt Clinton? My comic hero, Robert Klein.
Yeah, Robert Klein.
Robert Klein went to DeWitt Clinton.
Burt Lancaster.
Burt Lancaster, sure.
You had about
So what? What's?
Well, no, we have a. I believe we have a couple of Lotto things.
This and then the 100 is for him to buy a book.
Oh, okay.
we'll straighten that out during a commercial break. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel. If you want to play in the biggest NFL season-long fantasy football tournament and you can get an entry for free, well, then you've come to the right place. This is an opportunity to win up to $3.5 million in real money is what's going to be on the line here. And the way you do this is it's a season-long tournament, but there's no management. You know, that's always the drawback to some very competitive fantasy leagues is they take so much time. It's like a job. This one, you set your team and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically started, and you'll get the best score every week, guaranteed. No salary caps. It's a snake draft. You can, just like you play with your friends in a season-long league, but this one you go online and they'll put you in with a bunch of other people and you do the snake draft and your team is taken and boom, that's it. And there's leagues starting every couple of minutes, so you can join one even as we're speaking right now. Just go to draft.com or download the app at the App Store or Google Play and you do draft and who knows, 16 weeks later you might be a millionaire. It doesn't get any easier than that. It's the highest rated fantasy app, tremendous fun, and for a limited time you can get a free entry into the Best Ball Championship when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code VSHOW. That's right, a free shot at $1 million just by using my promo code VSHOW when you make your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com and come play for free with promo code VSHOW. The ACC Network gets on the air when? When is the ACC Network going on here? We'll see when it goes on the air.
7 p.m., I believe.
7 p.m. tonight, and Andrew Adelson is going to join us here in just a matter of moments. It's really cool. I was just reading about, you know, again, like I do, Wayne Randazzo, who's the guy who the call we played of the Mets win. He took over for the Mets as their play-by-play voice when a guy named Josh Lewin left the Mets to go take the San Diego Padres job, which was more convenient for him because he was also doing UCLA football. So now all of his work is in Southern California. But Randazzo is just a 34-year-old Howie Rose, who's his broadcast partner, I believe, is in his 60s. He's been with the Mets and broadcasting in New York for my whole lifetime, basically. The reason I tell you this is because everybody always asks, how do you get into business? How do you get into business? This is interesting to me that I know the people who try and get play-by-play jobs do this. They go to the winter meetings. And the winter meetings are not just for the teams to do their personnel haggling and trading and stuff like that. It's for teams to try and fill positions in their administrative offices, including in the play-by-play realm. And what they do is you literally put the people advertise their jobs and you drop like a tape or in each of the places that you're interested in applying for. And you know, the teams go home and they got like 300 tapes or 400 tapes, and then they pick one. And he was in there, and I thought this was really clever. He said it was a strange system. It was at the Opryland Hotel. You put your resume and your demo tape. He put them in a pile with literally hundreds of other broadcasting people that were interested. And he said, I noticed the job seekers were in one room, but the teams were in another. So I just left my room and went in their room. I just went in the other room and introduced myself to all the different teams. I circumvented the whole process. And he wound up getting a few job offers. The one in Mobile, the Diamondbacks AA team, was the highest level, so that's the one he took. And then he worked his way up. He was on the pre and post game shows in New York. And then when Lewin left, they made him a play-by-play voice. But it's amazing to me how guys get their opportunities in the most unlikely ways. Mark Kestisher, who is now the voice of the NBA, this is, I know this for a fact, because I was there when it happened. There was a guy, Greg Brinda, is a longtime broadcaster in Cleveland, and ESPN Radio, when I first started doing it as well, they would bring people in just to do the weekends. That's all they were on, was on the weekends, and then they went to weeknights after 7 p.m. That was their whole broadcasting day, and then they went 24/7. But so for the weekends, they'd bring people in, and they were very often people like Greg, who had a show in Cleveland locally, and then on the weekend, he would come and do a show where he'd get a little extra money, and for some cases, it wound up being an audition, like for myself, and I wound up getting the job there. So I was doing the show with Brinda on a Sunday, and his show was a Monday morning show. And so he asked, could he do his show from there? And they said, sure. And so he was in a studio and he was doing his show. And the guy who was running ESPN Radio at the time just came in to chat with him, as you do. You know, thanks for coming, Greg. Hope you had a good time here this weekend. Thanks for coming in and working. And as he walked in there, they threw it back to Cleveland for the local sports center. And Kesty gave the sports center. And the guy said, "Who is that?" And Greg Brenda said, "That's Mark Kestisher." He said, "He's fantastic. Can I have his number?" And they called him, and next thing you know, he was doing sports centers for the network, and now he's doing play-by-play for the network, and then he was the voice of the NBA. If the guy does not walk in the studio at that exact moment, I mean, he's so good, he would have advanced in the business anyway, but the whole path might have taken a whole different track. Speaking of broadcasting, I'm very excited because our next guest, I don't even think she knows this yet, but I do know things about the business. The ACC Network goes on at 7 o'clock tonight, and within a month, they are going to announce that she has her own late-night talk show on the ACC Network. Andrea Adelson to go up against Jimmy Fallon and all those other guys. So, Andrea, you up for that? You think you can do that?
Well, as long as you're my first guest, I'm definitely up for it.
Now I really want to see it happen. How are you? Thanks for coming in. What's the vibe around the start of the ACC Network? I mean, how you feel about it?
So everyone's super excited. It's a great day, not just for ESPN, but for the ACC to finally have this opportunity. I mean, we've been talking about this for years, and it's been a long time coming. The ACC was very strategic and when they wanted to launch the network and how they wanted to launch the network. And hopefully folks will be able to tune in. And if not, hopefully they'll have some patience with cable carriers, keep calling those cable carriers to get the ACC network covered. And it's an awesome day and looking forward to seeing what the network provides to us all.
Is you're not part of the business part of it, so I don't mean to make you speak in behalf of, guys who do the breakdown of numbers and profits and everything else, but how much of the impact for all of these spinoffs, SEC and ACC, has all come from the Big Ten Network starting? And there was a lot of skepticism about that. They're going to be interested in watching the Big Ten stuff for 24 hours a day, and yet they started raking in money hand over fist. And everybody likes to make rich or poor. It's, as my father used to say, it's nice to have money. So but I'm wondering if two things. One, that model influenced all the decisions that came after it. And secondly, is it sustainable as you go down the road? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's a great question. Obviously, the Big Ten and the SEC are two really great models to look at and try to follow and emulate. Definitely not the Pac-12 network, which has had its share of struggles and problems. And I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Pac-12 decided they were going to go it alone. This partnership with ESPN, I think, is going to be a really beneficial one and a valuable one, just the way it's been for the SEC and the SEC network. And when you look at, the revenue streams that have been coming in specifically to the Big Ten and to the SEC, because those are the two closest conference, at least in proximity to the ACC, the ACC lags behind. There's no doubt about that. And for years, the folks inside the conference have known that they needed this network to try and at least begin to close that gap. And so they hope that the network will be able to do that. In terms of revenues and profitability, that is way above my pay grade. I'm just hoping that folks tune in and watch. I know we're going to have a great product out there. I know that we've got some talented folks who are going to be in our studio and calling games on the sidelines. Packer and Durham should be a great morning show that launches tomorrow morning. So I just think that the excitement is there to try and at least get the ACC to a point where, from a money standpoint, they're not being lapped by the Big Ten and the SEC.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's, it is a competitive world after all. You got to keep up with the Joneses or whoever they may be in the other leagues. That's a great point. And by the way, you can find Andrea, most of you know this, at A. Adelson ESPN on Twitter. You have a link there, and it is your husband. So as you write, you may be a bit biased, but that's a very interesting piece he wrote for The Washington Post. About in a small farming town, thrill of football season has been replaced by fear of ICE raids. And I know you don't want to, you and all of us want to not delve into the political realm. It's been frowned upon by the parent company for recent times. And I'm not trying to go down that road. But just from a human interest story, it's a terrific story. How did he get turned on to this particular topic?
So my husband does a lot of work with the National Diaper Bank. And so a couple of years ago, when that area of Florida was hit by, I believe it was Hurricane Irma. Immokalee was completely devastated. And so he rounded up a bunch of diapers that he had gotten donated here in the Central Florida area and drove down to Immokalee to distribute diapers to families in need. And while he was there, he learned about this football team that even back then, this is 2 years ago now, was struggling because of migrant workers fearing raids. And so Eric decided to reconnect with them once the politics started changing and we started hearing more about those types of raids and the news media. He reconnected with the high school coach, and he took a drive down there, and he was able to explore and report stories about this football team and these players just being fearful that at any moment they could get caught up. And there was one especially poignant anecdote in there from the football coach. They had a very talented kicker, and he was kicking 50-plus yard field goals, which is essentially unheard of in high school football. And the coach was really eager to get this young man looked at and potential scholarship offer. And the kid said, I don't have papers. I don't think I can go to college. And now the coach has no idea where this young man is. So it's a really powerful human interest story that I think just shows a different side of what these football players have to deal with beyond just learning X's and O's. There's a lot bigger problems that are on the minds of a lot of these players down there. And Immokalee is a very poor area, and I think football fans may recognize it as Edgerrin James's hometown. There's been a bunch of NFL players that have come out of that area. And so I think Eric just wanted to kind of raise awareness about what's happening in these often forgotten communities where football is such the fabric of the town and brings everyone together on Friday nights. But it's not as simple as just going out there and putting a helmet on for these players.
It's a great piece. As somebody who enjoys the there's not a lot of outlets anymore for long-form reporting and writing. And so when you see one, and that's what this is, it's a really, really good piece. So congratulate him for it, and thanks for sharing with us about it. Let's get back to the ACC. You didn't write this, but you have a link to it on your site, and I'll let you elaborate on it. It's titled, How Dabo Built Clemson into a Monster. It's a legitimate question. I mean, the thought was they were always kind of them and Florida State, the creme de la creme in this league, but if they got on the big stage, they'd kind of, for lack of a better word, throw up on themselves. And now all of a sudden it's been anything but. National championships, real great, you know, year. And we're looking at it again. But the question in everybody's mind in this preseason, are we looking at another sequel of Alabama and Clemson? How did he get it to this level from where it was a good program to now a dominant program?
I'm so glad you brought this up, and I hope folks are able to go and check this out, because our graphics department did an unbelievable job illustrating this. It's an interactive type piece, and David Hale provided the text and the context for how Dabo did this. And, you know, just for a frame of reference, when I started covering the ACC in 2011 for ESPN, Clemson was in the Orange Bowl getting demolished by West Virginia. And this was a low point for Dabo and for the program, because they thought that they had kind of turned a corner, and then they got absolutely just embarrassed. And so I think he made one key decision there that kind of helped turn the tide, and that was bringing Brent Venables in from Oklahoma to be their defensive coordinator. And from the moment that hire was made, Clemson's defense has been one of the best defenses in the country. I think another aspect to it is this unyielding belief that everything would work out, that everything would turn out. And they did change their offensive philosophy, first with Chad Morris and now with their coordinators, to be more spread tempo and to bring in athletic quarterbacks to play that position. And you have seen the progression. Everyone thought that Taj Boyd was next level, and then Deshaun Watson comes in and he's next level, and now it's Trevor Lawrence and he's next level. So the progression in particular at the quarterback position and the way they've hit on all three guys and the way they've developed all three of those guys has gotten Clemson to a point now where which is the better unit? Is it the offense or is it the defense? And that's where you want your program to be when you have equal parts excellence on both sides of the ball. Their recruiting has been spot on. There haven't been a lot of misses. And the talent development, I think, is something that often gets overlooked when you're talking about Clemson. And talent development goes hand in hand with coaches. And the fact that he's been able to keep the majority of his assistants on staff and the hires that he's made have been terrific in terms of not just development, but the recruiting aspect. So that's how he's been able to do it. And I also think his, charm has something to do with it as well, being this fun-loving guy, at least on the outside, but he's extremely driven and competitive. And I think the players see that on the practice field, but the way that he charms them makes it easier, I think, in practice than somebody who's just always on your rear end at all times. Mm. So those are a couple of things. You'll be able to read more of what David Hale does. He's closer to the program. He's there all the time. I just think it's a different way of looking at what Dabo has built at Clemson. And it's certainly fascinating when you start thinking about how he put all these pieces together.
Talking to Andrea Adelson here from ESPN and now part of the ACC network, and that gets launched tonight with a big, big splash at 7 o'clock, I believe it is, 7 o'clock Eastern. The thing she's alluding to, I was going through it as she was talking, it's kind of cool. It's like a little kid's thing. It's like little cartoon characters, and they act out the whole narrative for you there. So there's little Dabo, and he's sad, and then he's happy, and then he's got a new coach, and there's a tiger, and it's very cool. But, you know, it's interesting. We were talking on yesterday's show. We were going through say what you will, about the betting part of it, whether you like it or dislike it. You know, money talks and you know what walks. So you always look where the money is for what people really think. And the separation between Clemson and everybody else in the ACC in preseason projected win totals is much higher than any other Power 5 conference in the country. Even Alabama is only projected a half a win better than Georgia, for example. And it's the same in the Big Ten and pretty well across the board. Is that an indication of how dominant they are, or the fact that the rest of the league is kind of had trouble keeping up?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think, and I wrote a column about this last week, I think a lot of what Clemson has been able to accomplish often gets tangled up inside looking at ACC strength of schedule. And I think that you can make an argument that it's easy to watch Clemson without thinking about who they've beaten on the schedule, because they are that good at just about every position on the field that you could imagine Clemson playing an Alabama type schedule and still come out with the same record, which is what our stats and information people have projected out. Because I asked, if Clemson played an Alabama schedule, what would the projection be for them? They said exactly the same. So I think that's an indication of where Clemson is in terms of the talent level. And I think that also is an indication of why there is such a large gap. Miami and Florida State are probably the two most talented teams behind them. The problem is that they have not had the staff continuity or the player development that Clemson has had. And so that's why you've seen those two programs struggle. The two programs that are most closely associated with the way people perceive the ACC were down last year. And so therefore, this idea is that the ACC as a whole is down, even though you have a lot of programs that traditionally are in the bottom half start to rise when you look at a Syracuse or an NC State or a Virginia, right? So those three programs in particular last year, you know, win 9 games or 10 games, but it's dismissed because they are not the more traditional blue blood type programs, you know, whereas in the SEC, everyone's considered a football school. So when Kentucky and Mississippi State are great, well, that's great for the conference. But when the bottom half of the ACC starts to rise up, that's not so great anymore in terms of what the perception level is. So is there a large gap? Yes, there's a large gap. There is no question there's a large gap. But I think a lot of that has to do with Clemson and not so much with what the talent is across the league in the ACC.
I'll ask you an awkward question, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, obviously when you're right in the middle of it, as we are here, you know, they just severed relations with their tennis coach, and the David Grissom, who's the president, ex-president of the Board of Trustees, came out and said some really eye-popping things about some of the bad behavior that had gone on here, including an accusation that, or an allegation anyway, that he heard from the ex-president that the stripper scandal was financed by a Board of Trustee member. That was, needless to say, a bit of an eyebrow raiser. So the question that people ask me all the time, and as I say, well, I don't know, I'm too close to it, although I do travel with some of the national folks, so I'll ask you, is that just the reputation of Louisville now? Is it just scandal you? Is that the perception when people on the outside look in?
Well, it's hard to say no to that right now, and it goes just beyond basketball. I think the way that things ended with Tom Jurich and Bobby Petrino and the former school president, and as you just mentioned, these allegations now, this is not just like a one-time news cycle thing. This has been ongoing now, and if we want to put it specifically to basketball, this type of scandal-ridden accusations aren't just new to the stripper either. You know, this has followed Rick Pitino throughout his career there. And so I don't think that there's any question when people outside Louisville think about the program, they're going to think about Rick Pitino in basketball and Bobby Petrino in football. And those are two guys that have never been disassociated from scandal. And I think that's just the reality of the situation there, just like it has taken the University of Miami decades to erase the notion that they're a scandal-plagued university or athletic department, even though the Nevin Shapiro stuff happened about 8-9 years ago, and the other stuff that happened in the 80s and 90s is what, 30 or 20 years removed.
Right.
So, you know, those things don't go away. You know, when you have scandals like that, they tend to stick around for a lot longer. And I think the only way for people to start forgetting is for the fresh blood and the new coaches to win and to win big. And that's what starts to change the narrative beyond, oh, here we go again with, you know, Miami or Louisville or, you know, some other programs that have been plagued by scandals in recent years.
It is, again, limited sample because you guys don't deal with them much on an everyday basis, and the football coach hasn't even coached a game yet. But certainly Chris Mack and Scott Satterfield and Vince Tyree have put a completely different face on the program, haven't they?
Yes, no question about that. I don't think that you could have made better hires if we're just looking at the sport coaches, because those are the guys that are the front-facing people for the university. You know, any president will tell you that, you know, that sports are the front porch to the university. And the way that Chris Mack and Scott Satterfield approach their job, the way they run their programs, the reputations that they have coming in, I think Louisville had to go with guys who had sterling reputations like those two. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I've talked to a bunch of ACC football coaches in particular as I get ready for the season. And a couple of them have told me that they believe Scott's going to win there eventually. It might not be this year, but they are huge fans of the way he runs his program, what he did at App State, and just who he is as a person. And, you know, I think one fascinating thing, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on your show before, but I mentioned it in the piece I wrote last week. You know, when he was at App State, he would go to Clemson spring practice every year because it was close enough, and those guys exchange notes, and it happens all the time. Coaching staff visit each other. And he told me, you know, he wants to try and model what Dabo has done in that program. And if he's able, in terms of just the culture, right, and his approach and the way he goes about dealing with his players. And if they're able to do that and they start winning some games, then I think the narrative around Louisville football clearly changes. And I'm sure it's going to be the same way with basketball. So it takes time. This isn't something that you can just put whiteout on and it's gone. It takes time to change that type of reputation. But I do think both of these coaches and who they are as people and how they've handled themselves with some difficult situations and questions lead you to believe that that they were the right hire at the right time for both of those teams.
What do you we talked about this when you were with us last time, so in a way it's not really fair because there isn't anything that's really changed of substance since I asked you this last time, but obviously maybe some people didn't hear it or just revisit it again. What would you look at for Louisville's year if you were being optimistic?
Well, if I was being optimistic, I think if it's a couple of ACC wins would be better than last year. Doubling the win total would be better than last year. It's a hard schedule. I know we've had this discussion. Some people don't think it's that hard. It is hard. It's a difficult schedule. And, look, they're going to be facing the same situation as they did last year, a top 10 team. At least it's at home this time. It's not a neutral site. And then how does the team respond if it doesn't go well? They didn't respond at all last year. So what's going to be the response this year if it does not go well? How does this team move ahead and move on and put that in the past? And I asked Scott Satterfield that in Charlotte, and he said, you're absolutely right. You know, we have to make sure that our guys are just, I hate to sound like it's a cliche, playing one week at a time and learn from what we did in that game if it doesn't go well and apply that as the season continues to move forward. So I don't know what the season is going to look like. I think there'll be a better team. I think they'll be better coached. I think that we'll see some improvement out of Juwan Pass. You know, Scott Satterfield told me back, I think it was in May when I saw him at the spring meetings, how thrilled he was just with the progress he had made in the short period of time that he had had him, that his arm is terrific, and they just had to work with him, not just on key fundamentals, but getting his confidence back up. You know, some of the players at Media Day, Louisville players, talking about how beaten down Juwan was last season because of the constant yelling and berating, and just had no confidence out there. So building him back up, I know, has been a key point of emphasis for Scott Satterfield and this Louisville staff. They've got some great assistants. This is a much better staff than it was a year ago. So I think if there's a better win-loss record, a couple of ACC wins, maybe a surprise here or two, but just seeing the general improvement, doesn't matter what the win-loss is, but seeing a general improvement in the way these guys perform out there, I think will show that their players are really listening to what the coaching staff's trying to tell them, and they're taking to heart everything, and that they want to be better as a team.
Are you surprised he hasn't named a starter yet, technically, although everybody kind of assumes it's going to be Juwan? He hasn't formally announced that yet.
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, there's a bunch of coaches out there that still haven't named their starting quarterbacks, and I'm sure he wants the players to feel completely invested in every single practice before he publicly names a starter. I mean, look at what happened at Miami with Tate Martell. He didn't show up for practice the next day. And I also think that, you know, these coaches now are keenly aware that the transfer portal is like a beacon to a lot of players who don't win starting jobs. And if you're a coach and you're worried that if things don't go a certain way for one of my players, he might get out of here, and what is that going to do for my depth at the position? I'm not saying this is the case of Louisville. I'm just saying in general, coaches have told me they are terrified of publicly naming starters because they might lose a player to the transfer portal. And at certain positions, they cannot afford to do that. Maybe that's what's happening here. I don't know. I can only hazard guess. But I would want those players to be continually engaged in the competition, split the reps as much as possible until game week, when you really have to start narrowing that down, especially with the challenge that Louisville's facing in the first game, and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean, when you're trying, and I'm sure he told you the same thing, when your main focus, one of your main focuses is that you're trying to change the culture, you want guys to buy into that hard work ethic that you were just talking about. And so when you do that, the best way to do it is to say, hey, everything's still up for grabs here. So you're right. Why rush to name somebody? So that makes sense. Hey, let me ask you, what you're going to be like part of the rollout, aren't you? Aren't you like the first thing they're showing tonight, a round table or something? Tell me what's going on.
I wouldn't go that far, but I will say we were the first people. We did an ACC Insiders Roundtable. It was myself, David Hale, who also covers the ACC for us, Adam Rittenberg, who's one of our insiders, and Tom Luginbill. And we were the first to actually tape a show in the new studio. So that is going to air in the hour before the Miami-Florida game on Saturday on the ACC network. But as far as tonight goes, we've got a Duke documentary, The Class That Saved Coach K, that's going to be on there. We're going to have our football analysts who are going to be on, and tomorrow morning is going to be the debut of Packer and Durham, two longtime voices in the ACC. I'm sure you know those guys well. It's going to be coming from Mark Packer's basement, which I think will be great. If folks haven't seen it yet, go check out the ACC Twitter handle, because it's up there. There's even space for his dogs who are going to be a part of the show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That debuts tomorrow. And then we'll just have content. There's stuff we're doing off of the Florida-Miami game as well on Saturday on the ACC network. So everyone's excited about the rollout, and the first game broadcast on the network will be next Thursday night, Clemson against Georgia Tech.
All right, Andrew, we will follow you with great interest. It's always a pleasure when you join us, and we'll talk to you soon. Be well. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
All right. We like that, Andrew Adelson. She's very good. You know what else is very good?
Saving money.
Can I get mad at you for a sec? It was a great interview. But I could be wrong. Did you ask about Princess Football?
I can't bring it up every single time. I brought it up last time she was with us.
Well, because I kind of primed her for it, and she was like, okay.
The pick, well, because I don't want to, you know, then it gets tedious, and then you roll your eyes. I mean, it's still the same picture she's had up there.
Oh, okay, all right.
If she changed the picture, it'd be worth it. Right, she didn't change it.
So every 2 to 3 visits, whatever. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's fair.
I know you're a big Princess Football fan, but there was no news coming.
And New York Mike back here giving me some tips.
On Princess Football.
Well, on how to bet. Oh. And I want to see if Sparkles covers the spread against Tutu.
Very nice. Speaking of betting, did you see that was the largest upset in the history of Major League Baseball since they've been documenting the odds?
Yeah, Locke was talking about
Justin Verlander was -550, which in baseball is ridiculous because they never get odds that big. He was -550 against the lowly Detroit Tigers. He gave up 2 hits. Unfortunately for him, they were both solo home runs. His team's offense went in the proverbial crapper, and they lost 2-1. And so -550, that's a nice payday if you were smart enough to take the – or ballsy enough to take the Tigers. I walked all over my own segue, so I don't know why I said that this would be a good thing to do, but I'm we like that Andrew Adelson. I don't know. Anyway.
We also like saving you money.
Yeah, and we like saving you money, and you can do that at Genesis Diamonds because they have the best buying opportunity right now. It's going on right now. It goes on now through August 25th. And it gives you a chance to take their already best prices. They guarantee you the best prices on the best diamonds, the GIA certified diamonds. They give you that guarantee, and now they're going to take an extra 20% off that already low price. You just can't beat that. In fact, you might very well see other jewelers and even diamond wholesalers shopping alongside you because these prices are generally not seen by the general public. And these are all the good GIA certified diamonds that, like we said, not all the diamonds make their way into their showcase at Genesis. They only pick the best and they give you the best price on them. And now they're taking an additional 20% off. It's all shapes, rounds, ovals, princess cuts, pear-shaped, even fancy yellow diamonds from 0.5 carat to 10 carats. Don't miss this chance to get access to diamond prices you rarely see as a member of the general public. It starts this Saturday and goes through, it's already underway. This is old copy. It started already. It's underway and goes through August 25th. Genesis guaranteed best price on all GIA certified diamonds minus another 20%. That is a deal. Check it out. Only at Genesis Diamond, Shelby Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's, where Louisville gets engaged.
Show with Bob Valvano is now right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I want to thank New York Mike for dropping by. What a generous guy. This is very fun. He makes trying to generate some money for Cancer Research Fund. He gave us an entire pack. I guess if you go to the lottery sellers, you can get a pack of tickets in the cellophane. They're not
it's
even
like a
open
brick
yet.
Of them.
Yeah, it's like a brick of them, but the guy has to activate the whole pack, which I guess he can do. There's a way somehow they can do it without having to activate each individual ticket. And so he's activated this pack and given it to us. And whatever we win,
is going to the V Foundation. We'll put it in the money we raise as part of the bocce event, which is great. It says over $2 million in cash prizes, so went up to $2,000. Let's hope we got a hot one in here. But whatever it is, it's just a wonderfully generous thing. So we appreciate that. And if you want to get in the spirit of helping us raise money in the fight against cancer, find us at kfov.org. And you can find out how you can volunteer or donate or put a team in our bocce event or any number of ways where you can make a difference. And we appreciate Mike doing that. He also, I understand, gave you like his little guidebook there, huh? It's he made a copy of it. Do you have it? We don't have to look at it right now, but I'm really intrigued to see it.
I got a little. Well, he gave me a full on book, but I also got a little cheat sheet.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool because he likes to put a shekel or two on a football game now and again, and he has a very strong feeling about the way to do it, and he's got this little guidebook that he's used. And I'll say this, even silly things like exhibition. Oh, shoot, don't lose that. Yeah, good Lord, he left his report card here. We wouldn't want to do that. But even silly things like exhibition games, he's followed this principle, and he won 11 games in a row, which is rather remarkable, to say the least. So we'll see if we can follow his guidelines, and maybe we'll generate a few dollars for the Kentuckiana Friends of V, or even for ourselves.
I'm just thinking, what are we going to do with all the little shavings?
Oh, yeah, I would suggest doing it over a garbage can. That would be my take on the whole thing.
Do we want to get started? I can go check.
What are you doing?
I'm saying, you should definitely kick us off.
I don't think that's good radio, do you?
I mean, come on. We've done goofy crap before that hasn't exactly been audio friendly. I'm saying that I think you should give 10 to both Patty Ice and Cooper.
No,
just have them sit
have
in
all
there
the fun
and let them scratch, or you could scratch during the commercial break or something.
That's what I'll do.
I'll leave your mic on during the commercial break, and every time you win, you can yell how much it was.
We'll yell Battleship. You know, they yell Yahtzee at Kentucky or whatever, so we'll come up with another game. We'll yell...
Clue.
We'll yell, Stratego!
Oh, I like that one. It's always one of my favorites.
You like Stratego?
I would say Risk.
I always thought it was a little unfair.
Why?
Because there was only one guy who could get rid of the bomb. Spy.
No.
Who was the guy who could get rid of the
bomb? It was the engineer.
Okay, well, whoever it was, if I got rid of your guy and I surrounded my flag with bombs, there's no way you could win the game.
No. See, you know what? You're a little rusty on your Stratego.
Okay.
Because I totally see why you would think that if you thought it was the spy, because there's only one spy.
Right.
But there's like... seven engineers.
Oh, there's seven guys who can take a bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
I was misinformed.
They're the second highest...
number of guys?
No, second lowest, I'm sorry. Highest number of them, because they're the second lowest in terms of like...
the value.
In terms of hit
Everybody
points,
kills them.
Except the scout. The scout is only two. The scout guy basically just... his job is to run around and run into the bombs and find where the other important pieces are. His trick is that he can move more than one space. He can move like nine spaces. He's basically a rook.
Boy, I didn't even know you ever played Stratego.
Oh my God, Stratego was my jam, dude.
Catherine, what's her name? Catherine Bell?
Yeah. No,
it's Trucks are my jam.
You have like 10. Okay, I'm going to go through it. You have, I think you have like 10 scouts, which only have two hit points and can only kill... themselves or the spy, if
themselves?
They catch the spy or the flag.
Oh, you mean an opposing
in terms, yeah,
scout.
They only have two hit points. They only have like two.
Pretty harsh
two
game.
Power.
You got people committing suicide.
The engineers can take, you know, another engineer out.
Okay.
Or they can take a bomb out or a scout because they only have 3 points. Then it goes, I think, corporal has four. Maybe marshal has five. Captain has six. It goes all the way up
to general.
I think the marshal. I'm sorry, the marshal has 10. The general has 9. And
the marshal's higher than the general?
I believe so. Yeah. And
whose army is that?
I don't know. It looked like it was like Napoleon stuff. I don't know. I just know one of them had like a fancy hat, and then the other one had like a Napoleon hat, and they were number 10. I think they were the marshal. Then there's one spy, and the only person he can kill, I believe, is either the other spy,
right,
or the marshal.
So his main value is that he can move a lot of space.
That he can basically take out the queen if you want to use it in chess terms.
Okay.
But I don't think he can move a lot of spaces. I think he can only move one. But I thought he had some other secret power. I'm not sure.
X-ray
but
then, vision.
But then there's the bombs that are throughout, littered throughout the place. And I
promise me you won't play an on phone version of this, because if the battleship took a month, this thing will take 5 years.
It might actually go faster. But no, man, I love Stratego, because I would always like try to scatter my bombs in the right way so that you would think that you were safe. But then there wasn't a bomb there, and then boom, there was a bomb.
Somebody asked me this, and I don't know the answer. Do we get an email? What was Ty Ray's big 1 o'clock announcement?
I believe it had something to do with...
Because we should got an email about that, right? And I haven't checked my email box.
Well, I don't think I'm on that mailing list.
Sure you are.
I don't think I am. I believe it had something to do with a new physical therapy partner. I thought that's what it had. I could be wrong. But Locke mentioned that, so did Drew.
They mentioned he was making the announcement, but we don't know what it is, though, do we?
Was that the physical therapy one? I thought that was the physical therapy one. And then there's a gift at 5 o'clock or 5:30.
You giving me a gift?
No, I already got you a gift.
I know. I got a great gift. I got a Bob Ross pen that is awesome. Thank you for that. I can't even tongue-in-cheek tease you about that. That was a fabulous gift.
I figure
out where I put it.
I also got a... Yeah, breaking stuff.
That's because I was going to buy it for you, but then I gave you something else.
What should I do?
Stay
puff
marshmallow. I mean, you should eat him.
But he's kind of cool. I kind of want to just put him in your office. Marshmallow doesn't go bad.
Yeah, it'd be disgusting.
No, it won't.
Yeah,
it doesn't get moldy.
No,
it just gets hard.
Yeah, well, that's disgusting.
No,
so if you put it in my office, you're conceding the fact you're never going to eat it.
I might eat it.
And then will it get ants? It'll probably get ants.
No, it won't get ants.
How do you know?
Because it'll be sealed, and then it gets hard. And it doesn't, and you can't tell that it gets hard and
but
gross.
But my office is dedicated to bobbles.
There is so much junk in your, I don't want to say junk. I
95% of stuff in there is bobbles.
I said junk because I didn't want to swear and say spit. But there is so much random stuff.
But it's only because
in there. I'm not saying it's bad.
It's about
fun.
Bobbles. And now we're going to have Stay Puft candy marshmallow.
It's 80% bobbles.
I think I'm going to eat it. Go bite his head off.
Well, he does look really delicious. This is why I could never have chocolate bunnies, though.
Because you never wanted to eat them.
Yeah, because they look so fun and cute.
Texts.
All my friends that are vegan.
Oh, no, I still never found out the announcement. That's what I was talking about. I still haven't found out what the announcement was.
I'm almost
Did he have a press? He had a press conference, right?
I don't know. I hate it when you ask me questions I don't know, because then I sound like a complete jackass on the air.
Hey, did you see Tom Lane dunk Vince Tyree?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Was that at that fair?
That was at St. Joe's Picnic, I believe. Nailed it, too.
Tom Lane gunned him down?
Oh, I mean, it was zipped in there, too. He had a little bit of...
Tom's a good little athlete. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Found it.
Oh, dang it. I was looking at it.
University of Louisville Athletics announces a partnership with Norton Healthcare. It's going to be the official healthcare provider.
Ah, that's it. Not
of
physical
the
therapy.
Cardinals.
Healthcare. Sorry, I was going to say, I thought that was cool.
Norton Sports Health will provide medical support to U of L's 23 sports programs, care that includes conducting physicals and providing funding for athletic trainers, campus training rooms, and imaging equipment. Norton will also offer mental health services, including counseling and sports performance specialists, to Cardinal athletes. Vince Tyree said, it's a great day for the University of Louisville Athletics. The health and wellness of our players is our top priority. We're excited to team with Norton Healthcare, an organization that has proven to offer the same level of passion, drive, and expertise as our athletes. Norton is just taking the town by gangbusters, aren't they? Aren't they just really blowing it open here? They're putting up buildings and making announcements like this in Louisville.
It really seems the two of them are becoming
It's a shame such
quite
a serious
the partnership.
Business, and it's a shame it would cost them so much money because every time I hear that, the generation, it's got nothing to do. This is actually before me, so if you're going to say it's a generational thing, but the famous Honeymooners that Jackie Gleason starred in, which ran in reruns forever and might still be on right now, well, you can visualize after 10 times each episode, he'd scream, Norton! When he'd yell at his neighbor, Ed Norton, the character. That should be all their ads. Their ads should come on that way. Every time there's a Norton, like, you know, the little soft music that all healthcare ads have and stuff. You know, if you're looking for the best in healthcare, you'd be wise to look only one place. Look at Norton for the healthcare that you... That would be perfect. I mean, the estate of Jackie Gleason would probably be cool with that.
I mean, it's just there's certain things. There are certain products you just don't
find,
have comedic.
Find
like when I was a kid, I'm amazed that now all the insurance companies are funny now, because that was a serious topic. I mean, now they all have to be, they got Flo and they got the Geico and they got, you know, cavemen and, you know, all that stuff. That was never a thing that you ever would joke about. You know, beer commercials were basically a guy, you weren't allowed to drink it, which is still one of the most ridiculous laws in our country. I don't know what people think they're going to do with it. They could show the guy pouring it in a glass, but he's not allowed to drink it in the commercial. You know that, right? It's against the law.
Really?
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
You cannot drink a beer in a commercial.
Oh, I did know that. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, so the commercials used to be cracked. Ah, it's the finest. It's the smoothest. And then
so everyone just has it in their hand.
Everybody's holding it. And then they got goofy. But there are some that they will never, like a funeral home is never going to do a commercial. Hey, you got somebody dying? Give us a call. You know, it's not going to be, you know, that's never going to be a funny one. Nor, I don't think, will healthcare, you know, got a lesion? Give us a call. You know,
well, it's always very inspirational and hopeful and everything.
Certain
like that,
things
and nice and
will
positive
never
and
evolve or devolve
like butterflies
to funny commercials. Almost everything else is fodder for humor now, which is fine with me. But you can't find Jackie Gleason saying Norton.
Nah, I was
get out of here.
Norton,
I cannot believe that's that hard
maybe
to find.
This one. Maybe this one. No, it's always him. No, it's always just him and I don't know who played that character.
Who played what?
Norton.
Art Carney.
The two of them just like chilling, going on their adventures.
I think I found it. This might be it. There it is, right there. Here we go.
Sounded like a guttural. Sounded like Jackie Gleason was throwing up.
Norton!
That's a guy impersonating him.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound very good.
No, that's a guy. Can you give a thumb down to that video? I want to give a thumb down to that. That was wasting all of our time.
There's always this classic. The golf scene.
Oh. You can play it through to address the ball. I'm sorry, I don't care how old it is. That is hilarious. They're in the kitchen. Jackie Gleason's dressed like a 1920s golfer. Looks ridiculous. And he's trying to learn to play golf in a day. He actually was an accomplished golfer.
Oh, I think he actually said it. Norton.
Norton, hurry up, come down here.
There you go. Norton!
Give me a heart attack or something.
Are we allowed to play all this without it?
Yeah.
Without getting sued?
This is 9,000 years old. It's probably in the public domain.
I don't know how you're going to do with these borrowed clubs, but in that borrowed outfit, you are divine.
Thank you, Norton. Well, did you bring something down we can use for a ball?
Oh, yeah. I got this here pincushion. That's good enough for the thought.
Perfect. Let me have it.
I wish I had a stand to put it
on. Let me
on.
Have it, Tom.
Huh? I have...
Ow! What's the matter with you? There's pins in it. What'd you expect to find in a pincushion? Chicken noodles? Take the pins out.
She loves me. She loves me now.
Will you stop with that? Come on, Norton. I only got 2 days to learn how to play golf.
Wait a minute. I want to shut the door. Wait till I shut the door. All right, look out.
Oh, that's good. Listener says, yell Norton with each winning ticket.
Yeah,
that's it. Thank you. That's what we'll do.
That's pretty good. I like that idea. He's not very
good.
He's
swinging and he's missing the ball.
We got to stop playing videos.
Well, you did this.
For audio.
What?
Don't swing at it ordinary. Like, you got to do it scientific like it says here in a book. Let me read it.
I've got no time to do it by the book. I only
got
2 days.
We're setting up the longest punchline, but it's one of the famous in sitcom, early sitcom history. It's coming up. People will still do it on the golf course. They not even know why they're doing it.
What's it say in a book?
How you getting smart? To Emily, whose slice inspired me to write this.
Read the instructions.
The golf swing. First, step up. Plant your feet firmly on the ground and address the ball.
Wait a minute. What do they mean by address the ball?
How should I know? That's what it says here.
Well, read a little further. Maybe it explains.
That's all it says. Address the ball. Wait a minute. I think I know what it means.
Here it is.
Here, give me the club. Step up. Plant your feet firmly. Hello, boys.
It's ridiculous. That's the longest setup for one joke ever, but it's people will still do that on the golf course. Hello, ball. That's why they're doing it.
Classic.
All right, we're taking a break. I'm going to scratch off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 tickets. And when we come back, you will see how many Nortons we call out.
Before you do that, can you...
What I definitely can't do is tell everybody that it's a thanks to our friends at Wing Zone. I can't do that because can't tell them, Adam and his staff, that we're grateful to them for dropping off Wing Zone Catering, because I just threw the copy on the floor. That's probably the reason why I can't.
Well, if you find it, you would probably tell Adam and his staff, give them a shout out. And remind everyone to try the ESPN Louisville special.
What is the ESPN Louisville special?
Well, it's 10 boneless wings.
10.
Wedges.
Mm-hmm.
And a drink for just $9.39.
How about that? When is this good? When is this in effect?
You can just mention ESPN Louisville.
We desperately want you to walk in there and just scream it. That's what we've asked somebody to do.
We want a video.
Open the door.
Yeah. We want a video.
ESPN Louisville!
We want you doing that. Absolutely.
That'd be tasty.
In a video. But you also have to, you know,
then
order the delicious
sure.
food. And if that weren't enough...
If it weren't, we got more?
You can get 4 thigh wings.
No way.
For just $2.99. It's a limited time only. 2 area locations in Louisville, Hess Lane near U of L, and Hunsinger Lane in Hikes Point. Order online, wingzone.com. Wings, burgers, flavor.
Thanks for being with us. More to come. We'll see how many Nortons we get here out of these first 12 cards. Thank you for the listener for that suggestion. Keep your fingers crossed trying to raise money in the fight against cancer. We'll continue that straight ahead. Thank you for being with us on this Thursday on The V Show on ESPN 680-1057.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.